The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
This episode is brought to you with the help from Newbility. Newbility is your go-to IT partner offering tailored solutions in talent acquisition, infrastructure support, network reliability, and cutting-edge AI. We help you stay ahead by turning technology into a strategic advantage for your business. Newbility, turning your challenges into powerful opportunities.
All right, well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I'm Matthew Nichol, voice of Augustina Football. And hey, joining me today, Hugh Keeney, defensive tackle, captain for the Vikings. So, Hugh, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So, Hugh, for those, you know, maybe, watching, don't really know much about you, mind doing just a quick intro about yourself?
Sure. I'm Hugh Keeney. I'm a senior defensive tackle from Chicago, Illinois. I went to Notre Dame High School in Niles. Been here at Augie, obviously, for 4 years now. I love it. It's a great time. But, yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Well, I really appreciate you jumping on and kind of fitting me in here on it. It's a big, big week. So, I mean, they're all big weeks, but probably none bigger than this one here this season. So, hey, we're in week 8 of the season. You know, the Vikings are 3-3. Let's talk a little bit about Saturday. Carroll has always been a tough matchup for us. The prior three matchups were kind of decided by, 4 points or less. But, you know, coming out of Saturday, you know, what were just kind of some of your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, so, I mean, the first thought for me is, you know, give or take 2-3 plays, we're absolutely in that game or winning that game. You know what I mean? So it's just trying to figure out those little humps we got to get over, working at fixing those mistakes. That was a big thing. And like I said, it's just 2-3 things that, you know, if we'd gone differently, we would have a different conversation today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it was back and forth. A couple of scary moments. I know, Braden Smith went down. You know, Yorn went down. I know he was in there kicking with, I'm assuming, a sore leg, sore ankle. I'm not sure exactly what he was. But it's always a tough matchup, man. But nonetheless, we got a big one coming up again here Saturday. So can't really rest on what happened a couple days ago. And let's focus forward. So I do want to switch gears a little bit before we talk about North Central. So, earlier in the year, you were featured in the Quad City Times. You know, Tom Johnston, he closely covers the Vikings. Honestly, it was a really great piece. I thought he did a great job. I think it was a great piece on you. And a couple of things that really stood out to me. So, you know, one I want to maybe talk about is Tim Sweeney, Aaron Lopez, Chase Tatum. You know, those were all influential, you know, folks in your career. In what ways did they really kind of help, show you the way? Can you maybe expand on what you meant in that a little bit?
Yeah. So, for one, I mean, just one thing is like all those guys were always in the weight room. And like, that was one thing I've carried over from high school is like, I really placed an important emphasis on off-season training in the weight room. So kind of like my freshman year, kind of meeting new people, I wasn't really that familiar with everyone. They kind of stepped up, helped me out, kind of showed me the way with that. So, I mean, it turned into us working out almost every day together, Saturday morning, Sunday mornings during the off season. And just kind of, taking me under the wing. Cause like I said, I didn't know many people coming in. I had my roommate, he used to go here. I went to high school with him, but other than that, I didn't know many people. So just kind of hanging out with them, kind of seeing the way they do things and like their dedication to the game, especially, film wise, we would always watch film together. So that's another thing. But also just being there for me, they're great friends, and I know I have friends for life, so that was awesome.
What were some things that they showed you that were from your like whether it's, you know, weekly preparation, kind of game day preparation, what were some of those things that, you know, they kind of, that you picked up on, you know, kind of over time?
One, I think, would be mental preparation. You know, I watch a ton of film. I like to pride myself on that. And just watching, you know, the amount of film they would watch and kind of like keeping up with that, talking about the game in that way is kind of one big thing I picked up from them as well. But also taking care of your body too. You know, they're always working, you know, stretching, getting themselves ready, putting themselves in prime positions to make plays and kind of having that mentality that like, I can't be stopped. You know what I mean? I'm going to work hard every time to get into the play, get involved. And that was one thing that I kind of picked up from them. I mean, just watching them play, it kind of, you know, it gives me inspiration to keep going. So having those guys there and now the guys next to me this year just continually keeps me motivated to play.
Now, you're super competitive. I'm going to make that assumption just kind of based, I think, on how you play, you know, on the field. You know, coming in as a freshman, sophomore, and really starting to get a lot of reps kind of in your sophomore year, I mean, you know, working out with those guys, you know, how much did that really drive you to continue to get kind of bigger, faster, stronger, you know, early on in your first, you know, first 2 years?
Oh, for me, it was, you know, just I want to beat them, you know what I mean? So kind of putting myself in that position to beat them. And I know they'll say the same thing. I mean, we were always pushing each other hard, so that was a good thing. But just kind of having that hanging over your head, like, oh, I want to be, you know, that guy, you know, pushing each other. So that was cool. But yeah, definitely, we got pretty competitive in there. So that was kind of cool, whether it's, you know, on the field or doing workouts or, you know, in the weight room. So that was cool.
Now, you also mentioned in that piece that Coach Bell, Coach Maloney, they were early influencers, you know, especially in your freshman year. You know, what type of impact did they make not only early on, but they've made throughout your 4 years here?
Coach Bell, at least from a leadership standpoint, you know, that's the big thing for me is watching him lead us is kind of one of the best things I think about our program. He's always in there with us, you know, no matter what, pushing us to be our best. So I think that's a big thing. And Coach Maloney and Coach Call on the defensive side of the ball, and now Coach West for the last 2 years, they've really shown me how to grow as a player, not only physically, but mentally is the big thing for me. I mean, like I said, we watch a ton of film together. And also just from like a mentality standpoint within playing defensive tackle, Coach Maloney, especially, I mean, we do our mental training in the beginning of camp. You know, we're working on things like discipline, you know, confidence, things like that to kind of push us to that next level before we even start going into football. Just talking about how, you know, playing on the defense, there's a certain attitude you have. There's a certain mentality you have to have. So I think that's the big thing with them, especially pushing me for that because, you know, coming into high school, you're kind of lost. But, you know, when you have mental training like that and like a mentality puts you in a position, it kind of helps you go a long way because then you can start picking up and say, hey, you know, like this is – I kind of feel like it's high school, but also like this is a different game and there's a different level of mental focus that's required.
Well, and in phenomenal facilities. So,
oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that the article pointed out too was, you know, Coach Bell, you know, alluded to a lot of this. It was around like your leadership. So how would you describe your leadership style?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like to say I'm a pretty vocal leader. I like to kind of bring a lot of energy, you know, get people excited to go. But also I think one thing is by example, you know, showing people, you know, what to do, how to do it, you know, and not like that I'm right all the time, but like it's good to have, you know, like just a certain set of things I do and like pushing people to do that as well, I think. You know, there's a standard when you play at Augustana and a standard when you step on the football field in general. So I think a lot of guys should strive to live for that. And, you know, for me, like this is my life right now. It's football has been my life for the past 4 years. So I hope everyone else kind of feels the same way because when this is over, you know, we're going to look back and I'm going to miss it. But for now, I'm in it. So I might as well do it the best I can. But vocal and kind of a mix of example as well, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hey, let's talk a little run defense. So the Vikings defense the past couple of years have really improved the run defense. Currently ranked number 2 in the CCIW, allowing, you know, under 100 yards a game, which is really only second to North Central. What do you think why do you think the Vikings have been so successful this year against the run?
I think our speed is one of our big factors. You know, we're not huge. You know, we don't have a ton of like, we don't have 300-pound defensive tackles, you know what I mean? So speed is a big thing for us. You know, being in the right place, trusting that the guys around you are going to do their jobs is a big thing for us. So I think, you know, with Dylan Burton behind us and Luke Willis, they really help us out. And then Ruckus Hunkins filling in from Snake. But I mean, our entire defensive line, I mean, we play our discipline and we know where we have to be. So that's the big thing. And I mean, we always pride ourselves on stopping the run. Like last year, we kind of had a saying, like people would say, like, run the damn ball. We'd say, run the damn knot. That was kind of a Coach Maloney thing. So we're really, that's kind of our pride right now, is stopping the run. So we know, you know, like, hey, you're going to have to beat us through the air. And hopefully we can force teams to have to do that. But continually working towards it. I mean, we rep the run all the time, because that really is sometimes the most dangerous part of the football game. So for us, it's just making sure we can take out that element of the game.
You know, one of the things I've also noticed, not only last year, but again, continuing into this year, is an improved pursuit to the ball and getting more players to the ball. So, you know, the solo tackles, I haven't looked the stat up, but I'm assuming solo tackles are probably down and assisted is likely up. You know, excuse me, overall for the Vikings here. To me, that seems like that's been a good strength as well, in not relying so much on these one-on-one, you know, trying to stop, you know, these running backs out of the backfield.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was one thing from the first day of camp we really wanted to pride ourselves on, was getting to the football. Because when, you know, there's 11 guys in the film, as we call it, that's a sign that your defense is putting in the work. So for us, it was always getting to the ball, hustling everywhere. So during camp and even during practice, now still, whenever we're doing, you know, team segments or we're doing like scout team with the guys, we're running to the ball and then we're breaking attack and then we say keep pounding. So kind of we always there, always together, and it kind of just brings us closer together as a team as well, because we know that everyone's going to be there and we trust that we're going to get there.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned a couple of names. You know, Luke Willis has stepped in. He's played really nice as well this year. Dylan Burton has stepped up and is playing great. Obviously, Ruckus, you know, is a big staple there. But, you know, TJ Klein has done a nice job. I think one of the things I think is interesting, he's had a couple of, he has batted a few balls out of the air. You know, Magnus Wells, you know, gosh, he's been kicking butt. Teek Nito, he's been kicking butt. Like, it feels like it's been a pretty darn cohesive group. And, you know, we're not getting, which will kind of allude to the second thing I want to talk through. It's like, we're getting into the backfield, but we're not getting so deep where we were 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, really, where, you know, the running back could slip out from underneath, or that quarterback could really kind of slip out and take off. It doesn't seem like that's happening as often or even more frequent. So you're getting a nice balance, I think, between driving that line of scrimmage back into the backfield, but not so much that it's like, you know, you're back where, you know, the punter's taking a snap here. So, I mean, do you feel like that accurately describes, you know, the defensive line and kind of the push you guys have made? Or,
yeah, I mean, I think one thing is, like, you know, sometimes it's going to happen, but for us, it's like limiting that. And that's one thing I think, you know, after North Park, we kind of had a few times where he kind of stepped up and was able to make plays. So ensuring that we're able to keep him in the pocket and at least collapse it slowly. And I think that just happens to be that, you know, a lot of us are on the same page. You know, you have like Jack Serta and Ryan Gustafson on the side, kind of working them in. And then, you know, all our guys in the middle, me, TJ, Woodry, and Magnus are going to push them and kind of collapse that pocket. But, you know, every week sometimes, you know, sometimes we struggle with it, but sometimes we got to keep working at it. And that's a big thing in practice, is we work on keeping them contained, because we know if one guy gets there, the other guy's going to do their job and fill up. But that's just kind of a thing that goes with like cohesiveness of the group, like you said before. I mean, we're all on the same page. So that's a nice thing.
Yeah, you mentioned Jack and Ryan. I mean, both have also been playing well this year. So now a stat I looked up last night, which I wasn't aware of, but the Vikings are number one, at least as of last night in the CCIW, defensive sacks with 18 for a loss of 139 yards. Now, you know, we hold a slim one sack lead on Wesleyan. You know, but last year the Vikings defense, they closed out with 22 sacks on the year. You know, we've got four games left. Certainly poised to be in a spot to improve on last year's number. Why do you think the Vikings have been so successful this year in the sack category? I mean, you know, you've got a pair yourself.
Yeah, so, I mean, one thing I think was during the spring, obviously, because we're not padded all the time. You know, I think we have 4 contact practices with pads. So we worked on our pass rush a lot. That was one thing we really had to focus on. And, you know, with the balance of guys we have on our defensive line, we all have our strong suits. And the nice thing is we can always put, you know, guys in for pass rush situations, or we can pick up a sack here and there. But the good thing is that we worked it so much in the spring, you know, working hands, working different kinds of pass rush moves, collapsing the pocket, contain rush. So that was one big thing for us, was we knew we wanted to get better in the pass. So during the spring, that was like one of our main focuses when we're in, you know, just helmets and just your practice jerseys, because you can't really do a whole ton in the run. So you're really working on those hand moves. You're working on keeping good rush lanes. So I think that's one thing that really helped us out, was our emphasis on it in the spring.
Now, defensively, you know, you've got like Johnny Breeden in the back that's helping call, you know, secondary coverage. When you go to the defensive line, are there different, you know, whether they're stunts or different ways that you're rushing, is that kind of its own individual call, or is it just broader within kind of the scheme that you're calling for that play?
You know, it really depends. You know, sometimes we got different coverages to mix up with different stunts and blitzes, et cetera. But usually it's, you know, it comes from different coaches. So like we'll get a signal, and a lot of the times, nice thing is our defensive line knows them. So, you know, we don't have to like scream and yell it all the time, just so we can keep that away from the other team. Cause, you know, by the end of the game, you're starting to pick up on things. But the good thing is we're all able to find out what that is, and our linebackers have good communication to us. So even if we miss it, they're able to pick it up. But, you know, depending on what the coverages and stuff are, they kind of, the DBs know perfect. I mean, they're very smart, so they can understand, you know, if we're bringing this pressure, what's the coverage going to be behind it? How are we going to do different things? How are we going to roll somebody? How are we going to bring somebody up to fill where, you know, someone's leaving? So it's usually connected, but, you know, sometimes it can vary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk a little bit about this Saturday. So, you know, we're Vikings are hosting the number one ranked team, North Central, back-to-back years. We've hosted them here, you know, in Rock Island. What do you think it's going to take to slow down the Cardinals?
I think for us, it's just playing together. You know, sometimes we kind of falter when we start to play individual football. So being together, using our speed and physicality, hustling to the ball, I think that's what it can take, because they're a very good football team. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And they have very good dudes that are very good, you know, athletes, and they're smart athletes. But for us, it's playing together as a cohesive unit. You know, we got to get to the ball. We got to make sure we're in our gaps. We can't be losing contain. We can't be losing our coverage. We can't be losing, you know, you can't get reached by a guard or a center. So things like that, just playing complementary football within, you know, our offense and defense, but also within our defense as well, playing together. That's the big thing for us. It's going to take all of us, and we know that. So
now, going against North Central, I mean, what are some of the things you expect to see? Like, do they tend to just play pretty straight up? Do they tend to, like, pull a lot? Do they tend to double team? Like, what are some of the things that, you know, you kind of see North Central offense on the line side of things? What do you tend to see them do?
I mean, they have very pretty quick offensive linemen, so they like to kind of be able to get hip to hip and push you out and create seams for their running backs to hit up, because they have a pretty good running back as well. But depending, I mean, we watched a little bit of film so far. You know, we see some inside zone stuff they're going to run. They're going to try and kind of crush your inside guys with a double, or, you know, kick out your ends and just kind of create that space for the running back to move. But they have a pretty balanced attack. I mean, they like to run the ball, establish the run so they can then start passing. But, you know, different things like sprint out, boot, we're going to be ready for it, going to expect it. But from a defensive line standpoint, you know, they want to get hip to hip and they want to physically dominate you. And that's one thing we have to limit. We have to stay low, keep good leverage on these guys, because if we keep our gaps and keep good leverage, we can kind of slow down that run game and then force them to throw the ball.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just stopping Joe Sacco. It's stopping Luke Lanen as well. So, you know, Lanen's got some wheels. I mean, heck, a couple times he's rushed for, I think, over 200 yards. So, you know, so you're just taking the difficult part of stopping a run, where you typically focus on the halfback, and now, well, you've got to extend it to someone who can do it, you know, kind of a dual threat for you. So, you know, as a captain, you know, leadership certainly continues to be, you know, important, you know, to keep the team engaged, motivated. What do you think is going to be important to focus on this week, just generally in the Viking preparation?
One thing for us is sustained energy. You know, second half, we haven't been a great football team. So for us, it's kind of working to push past that first half. You know, like you go into the locker room, you kind of lose it a little bit. Working to get back up to that standard that we're playing in the first half. So sustained energy is always a thing for us that we have to work on. But for one thing for us is like we know they're going to make plays. You know, we're going to have some plays. So kind of keeping people away from the ebbs and flow of the game and kind of keeping us at the same level mentally is one thing. And I think that helps, you know, in practice when we go against our offense, you know, like, yeah, they're going to get us sometimes. We got to make sure we get them more than they get us. But other than that, I mean, just kind of continuing to work on like having a good mentality as a team, you know, like I said, you know, they're going to get some, so we can't make sure those things snowball and go downhill from there. We got to make sure, you know, we're at the same level mentally.
Yeah. You know, and the other part too is, you know, an opportunity, I think, for the Vikings is for those on the sideline, continue to be a huge supporter of those that are on the field. You know, that's probably, you know, one of the things that, you know, I continue to see, like North Park was a great example of like their sideline continuing to be hyped. And this is a good opportunity for us on the sideline. I was actually mentioning this to call the Elmhurst game. I was like, hey, we got to keep getting the sideline in and hyped and you know, getting them, because that energy just feeds back into the field, you know, as well. So when you come off, you know, keeping them pumped, keeping them going, like, you know, there's other ways to continue to contribute. And that's a good way to carry that energy back into the second half. I certainly agree. Sometimes we start off a little slow. We don't typically have the best first drive. You know, it's time to got to turn it on. Absolutely. Now let's talk some non-football questions. And you're pursuing history education. You know, talk a little bit about that in that article that Tom Johnston wrote, but, you know, ultimately, why'd you choose history education over, you know, any other, you know, any other field?
Yeah. So, I mean, the one thing for me is like, I love history. I always have. It's always been my favorite subject in school. And, one thing is my mom's a teacher also. She teaches first grade. Now she's a reading specialist, so she's not in the classroom anymore. That's been for about 2-3 years now. So one thing was seeing how much she loved her job every day. You know, she'd come home, she enjoyed what she did, and like it's good hours for me. You know, I like to be up early in the morning. You know, I wish I didn't, but it's kind of at this point where I don't sleep in very much anymore. So I'm up early in the morning, you know, it's a good schedule, you know, 8 to 3, 8 to 3:30-ish, and then I'd go coach. But just seeing how much my mom and even my teachers and coaches in high school enjoyed their job. I mean, that was kind of one thing that stuck out to me. And my dad always said, like, make sure whatever you're going to do in life, like, you love it, because you don't want to be miserable going to your work every day. You want to actually enjoy it, have a good time. So that was one thing for me, is just seeing how much she loved it, seeing how much my teachers and coaches in high school enjoyed what they did and had passion for it. And I thought, you know, I love history. I love being in a school environment. So I think this was a perfect opportunity for me.
So do you have any plans to continue, you know, pursuing additional education afterwards, or are you going to try and go directly into teaching?
Right now the plan is to go directly into teaching, but, you know, a couple years down the road, maybe start pursuing like a master's in education. So right now, like I said, I'm probably going to go into it and then, you know, work my way from there and see if I can pursue it later on.
Now, is there any particular like time frame or, you know, historical event? You know, I guess it's maybe two things, right? So maybe one, time frame you want to teach. And then has there been like any like historical event that you've really kind of, you know, latched on to and said, you know, I want to continue to learn more about, you know, this time period, or, you know, what happened within history?
Yeah. So for me, I love both the World Wars. That's my favorite things to study about, World War One and World War Two. I love European history, you know, especially kind of European history from like, I took a class my freshman year here, European history 1300 to 1800. And that was really one of my favorite ones. I really like learning about that. I know a lot of people think it's kind of boring, but for me, that's like some of the most interesting things. So, you know, both World Wars are fascinating. And then, you know, Western civilization, European history, things like that.
Nice. Yeah, I like it. Now, you also talked about, and you just mentioned it, football coach is something you want to continue to pursue doing. Do you have any kind of initial leads to joining, you know, any staffs? Did you go into next year?
At this point, not really. The past 3 years, I've been coaching the defensive line in my high school over the summer. So that's really been an awesome opportunity for me to get in there, you know, get my coaching feet wet, as well as being a part of like a team, you know, because during the summer, I'm just missing football so much because, you know, you're away from the team. But it was perfect. It's a perfect opportunity for me to go back, you know, and give back to my high school, as well as my little brother is a senior this year. So I've been coaching him for the past 2 years on varsity. So it's been really cool. I mean, going back and having that kind of system and during the summer, I get to work out at my high school. So that's cool too. I get the turf access. So that was an added bonus, I guess. But no, I mean, I love it. You know, the last 3 years, that's what I look forward to over the summer, because I know I'll still be involved and around the game. So as of right now, not really like a ton of leads, but, you know, there's still some time, and I do my student teaching in the spring. So kind of, you know, at the end of the season, early winter, I'll start to kind of look and really put my feet out there, really put my name out there.
Now, you're planning to go back to kind of the Chicago area then, or?
Yeah, so I'm the plan right now is kind of to go back to Chicago area. You know, if something were to open up out here, obviously I'd take a look at it and see, you know, weigh my options. But as of right now, the plan is to go back to the Chicagoland area, but I'm open, you know.
Well, hey, I have a great volunteer defensive coach for third and fourth grade team tackle next year. So, I mean, if you're still around and you're a free agent, you know, we could certainly use some help here for my son's team. So you have a brother on the team, sophomore linebacker Owen Keeney. What's it been like just playing with your brother, not only in high school, but now here at Augustana at the collegiate level?
Yeah, I mean, it's really been awesome for our family. You know, for my parents, it's really cool to see both their sons playing together. And then obviously for me and my brother, it's cool. We just become closer. One thing is we do argue a little bit less, which is kind of nice because we're not like on top of each other like we were at home. But so that's been cool. You know, kind of seeing your brother as less of like a brother and more of a friend now has been really awesome. But I think, you know, when he said he was kind of looking at here, I was really excited for him to come here because I want him to be a part of what we have here. I mean, there's so many good players on his team, so many great friends he can make, and I think he's really found his spot here. So that's kind of nice. And, you know, continuing for him to work to find a place on the team, I think is a big thing. But I've loved it. It's been awesome.
Has it really kind of helped with, you know, kind of grow your you know, both your guys' relationships? And
oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, I have a younger brother also who's kind of looking at here next year. He's a senior right now. But for us, it was kind of like experiencing life outside of like our home. You know, our parents aren't here. You know, it's just me and him here. So kind of having each other's back, you know, being there for each other when we need it. We have a car that we share up here as well. You know, I take it a little bit more than he does, but that's all right. But so that's been kind of cool. But building our relationship as dad is like less of like, you know, in home, you know, like, oh, brothers arguing. Like now we're, yeah. I think we really become closer friends. So that's awesome.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Now, as I was looking up, so I believe you wrestled and played baseball in high school. Is that right?
I did. Yep.
So which sport outside of football did you enjoy more wrestling or more baseball?
I'd probably say baseball just because I played it for a longer amount of time. I started wrestling when I was in eighth grade, and then I've been playing baseball, obviously, since I've been younger. But I love baseball. I mean, it was one of my favorite sports. Obviously, football was number one. But I caught I was all right at hitting. I wasn't as best as I could have been. But it was tough, you know, coming back seasons from football and wrestling to get back into the baseball swing. But baseball's always been a kind of a real big passion of mine. I mean, I loved it. I was considering trying to play here. And then I kind of, you know, it just didn't work out with football and stuff. So it was kind of just good to focus my talents on football. But baseball is awesome. I love it. I mean, sometimes I miss it. You know, when springtime comes around, you get kind of that feeling. So that baseball for sure.
Well, hey, you know, we can always use a stand and come call a baseball game or two with me for the Vikings here. So open invitation there. Who do you follow, you know, for baseball?
Oh, I'm a Cubs fan. I'm from the north side, so born and bred Cubs fan. I don't really talk about that team on the south side.
Yes, sir.
Too much.
Yes, sir. There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that, gosh. Same thing here. Got the Vine line up here. Got all kinds of good stuff back here. So, I don't know about those other Chicago fans, no. But we'll go with that.
They're not very good, so it doesn't matter.
Now, what do you like to do? I mean, you know, outside of football, kind of outside of school, what are some of the other things you do to, you know, relax or any other hobbies that you know, maybe you do?
For me, big thing is just hanging out with friends. You know, I think I'm a pretty social person, so I like to hang out with my buddies, you know, whether that be back home or here up at school, doing different things. I don't play as much basketball as I used to anymore. I'm not very good anyway, but, you know, just kind of doing things. Working out is also a big hobby of mine. But mostly hanging out with friends, I think. Friends and family, for sure.
Well, you know, it's so many memories, man, you make, you know, back in Augie. I mean, as we were, because I redid this office, turned it from a toy room to now my office. You know, I was finding from, you know, a couple of folks that basically I lived with at Augie, you know, Tyler Coleman, Jared Ammon, they both played football. Harold Townsend is a friend of ours. You know, we're back in our house, back at Augie. So, you know, you still uncover so many good memories, you know, really, really from back then. So, you know, cherish it, man, as much as you can. What's been, you know, as you take a look back so far at Augustana, what's been your most memorable or maybe one of your favorite moments, football or not? Doesn't necessarily matter.
Most memorable moment. That's a tough one. I mean, there's so many to choose from here, especially, you know, I've loved my time here, so that's really been cool. I don't know. You know, one thing for football-wise was the Wash U game last year. That was awesome. I know a lot of people say that. That was a really cool experience. But, I mean, I every year I just make so many memories. It's hard to really pinpoint one. You know, playing with my brother for the first time, that was cool. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if I had to pinpoint one, I'd say the Wash U game was pretty cool. And obviously we're going there at the end of the year this year. But just being a part of the football team, I think, you know, whether it's, you know, in the middle of the winter when we're just working out or, you know, spring ball, I think that's some of the coolest memories I have. You know, we used to have an IM basketball team. We're not having it this year, but we were pretty bad. But it was still, you know, just those little things are the best parts about it. You know, hanging out with people on the weekends, it's always a good time. So that's kind of been the thing for me, is like the friendships and memories I've created here through football have been the best.
Now, for the, like, some of the spring stuff, do you guys name it at all? Like, when I was there, we called it Berserker Days. It was like the first 5 days of, like, you know, our spring practice. Do you guys have any nicknames or you know, a title for kind of the spring workouts?
No, not really. I mean, the one thing, actually, you know what we do? So Friday, we call it like EDM Friday or in cutoff Friday. So everyone wears like a cutoff or like a undershirt, like a white t-shirt. So we call it cutoff or EDM Fridays. And then we play like a bunch of old like EDM music and like pop music. So those are some of the best for us, is kind of doing that. And it's not even like we're doing like arms or anything. We're all just wearing cutoffs and we just kind of lose our minds on Friday because it's Friday in the middle of spring.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do besides go work out, you know? So those are the big thing for us, EDM and cutoff Fridays.
Now, it made me think of something. The last home game, you know, it was Augustana visit day. So, you know, they were playing, you know, a bunch of fight songs, you know, from a bunch of other schools, you know, at the stadium. But it was Aaron Call was up there. Our sports information director, Trevor Jessart, was up there. And we were talking as we were kind of, you know, putting together some different music, or finding a playlist to play. I mean, what would you like to hear pre-game as you're out there warming up? Like, what music, band, song, what is it that you want?
Ooh. I mean, the one thing with the old music, that was pretty cool. I was talking to Coach Call about that before the game. I know we went down to Wesleyan last year. They did that. So that was kind of cool. I heard I'm a Notre Dame Irish fan. So that was one, when I heard their song, I was like, all right, that's cool. So that was playing all morning. But if I had to choose one song, I think Joran, who made the playlist this year, has it, but Paranoid by Black Sabbath.
Okay.
That's like one of my go-to thing that like gets me going for a game. So when I hear that, it's like, all right, it's time to go. Because that's my buddies back home, we love that song. So that was one that was really cool.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, so lastly, and I ask everybody this, best tailgate food after the game?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I mean, there's a ton of stuff. I like what my mom does. She kind of brings up, like, sometimes she'll bring up sub sandwiches from back home. Or last time we made a bunch of sandwiches up here, so that was cool. So I got to go with my mom's. But, I can't go against mom here. But
no.
The one thing also was one of the – sophomore defensive lineman Corbin Rawlings, his dad made a jalapeno pepper or popper wrapped in venison and bacon.
Ooh.
And that was like, yeah, that was really good. And I'm not a huge, like, I don't love venison, but that was really good. So that was one of the best ones I've had. But like walking tacos, I know some people make those. Those are always good.
Yeah. No, I'd like to see if I can get some dirt on where some of the other good spots are. So, mm-hmm. I think like the leading tally or vote right now, I think, are the Straits. So Dakota's dad. So, yeah. But yeah, there's been so many good food, so much good food out there. I mean, I remember at the Isthmus Bowl, you know, somebody pulled up a smoker, and it's like, oh, wow. I don't know. There's hardly many schools at this level that can compete with the Vikings when it comes to game day tailgating. So it's amazing. No.
That's what I told my buddies. They're going to come up for senior night. And I was like, yeah, you got to make sure you go to the tailgate before the game and then after. And they're like, you guys have tailgates going on there? I'm like, oh, yeah, we have tailgates going on. Like, it's some of the best. You know what I mean? So that's cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, and such a cool tradition because, back in the early 2000s when I was there, it wasn't a real big tailgate scene. So the fact that they have really kind of built that, built that expectation out and it's really been supported so well by, you know, family and friends of, you know, the Vikings and the players. I think it's super cool. And, it's a great kind of, you know, Vikings, right? Talk about family, right? It's a great family atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Getting to know so many different, you know, players and parents and family, and it's a really cool scene for those that haven't come to go check it out. So
that's for sure. Yeah, that's one thing I didn't really expect it when I was coming in. When I saw it, I was like, oh man. And you go out there and you go by your parents, and then you're talking to everyone else's parents. You know, you get to know them not only as a player, but you also get to know them as like a son or a brother. So that's kind of cool. So that's the one big thing for me, is like meeting all these different families, creating those relationships. But yeah, definitely that's the best part.
Dude, 100%. Well, Hugh, thanks again for taking the time, to connect with me today. Your level of competitiveness, your leadership, you show kind of each and every Saturday. I think it's just it's a testament to you. I think it's a testament to your character. Good luck. Good luck Saturday as we host the Cardinals from North Central. So. Should be a good one.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. It's been awesome.